Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
We will get to that at some point when we don't have other pressing things to talk about, one of which is Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns, who, by the way, Brady Quinn on these airwaves on Sunday night said the Cleveland Browns are going to the Super Bowl. You didn't commit on them winning the Super Bowl, but you
I said
Browns are going to the Super Bowl. So, of course, my follow-up question to you was how many beer funnels have you had before the show? Because
well, two things that led me to this conclusion.
Yes.
The first was miraculously watching Stipe Miocic. Is that how you say his last name?
Yeah, Stipe Miocic. Correct.
Miocic.
Yeah.
See, you wax poetic. You sound much better when you say
that's
it.
That's what I do.
Look, he's the heavyweight champ in Cleveland. And when he was able to come back from that fight, because let's be honest, he was losing, it was a miraculous comeback.
It was.
And now he's the champ. And I thought to myself, I feel like things are working in the right direction for the Browns. I feel like the Indians, too, they're having a decent year. Things are working in better direction for them, although I haven't really checked them out lately. But last time I checked, they're doing pretty good. And really, more than anything else, what I'm hoping for is if the Browns are going to the Super Bowl, guess what? Guess where that Super Bowl is? It's in Miami.
Oh, God, that's a great point.
You know what that means?
Yeah.
All my friends, all my pals, my friends, everyone's coming down to South Florida, baby. I get to hang out with everyone for a week.
Yeah, all of them. Every single one of them will get the invite, I'm sure. Every single one will get the invite.
Well,
all
not,
your
not
pals.
Not people who live in L.A.
Yeah, of course not. Why would they?
Well, shouldn't you be out here professionally working anyway?
This is great. You know, honestly, you know what doing radio on National Radio Day is like with Brady Quinn? You know what it's like? It's like I am the bottom of Antonio Brown's feet. That's what it's like. Like, I'm falling off because every time I work with you, you're the cryotherapy chamber and I'm the bottom of his disgusting feet melting as he refuses to show up and practice without a helmet. So it's always fun though. But yeah, everybody will be in town for the Super Bowl. All your good friends. I won't get that invite, of course.
I mean, you went to the Super Bowl this past year. Why would you not go this year?
Well, who knows, man? Listen, I'm a mover and a shaker. Right? Maybe I want to go. Maybe I don't. You're never quite sure with me.
You actually showed up harassing people. Now, that's the best way, but you were harassing people, saying all sorts of ridiculous things.
That's not
true. And dressed inappropriate for Radio Row. Let's be honest.
Listen, I thought it was appropriate. You know, Radio Row needs a touch of goth from time to time, and I provided it. That's what I
did. You provided goth with a deep V where you could see your belly button. That V was so deep.
Look, I have a rule with shirts. Step through the collar to put it on. That's it. It's not really hard. I mean, if you can do that and you can accomplish that, we are all good here. By the way, so Baker Mayfield and those Cleveland Browns, who according to Brady Quinn will be at the Super Bowl in Miami this upcoming February. So he had some comments in a GQ article, and Baker Mayfield, and the exact comments that Baker Mayfield said, and I'm going to read you word for word from the column, okay, because this got Baker Mayfield a lot of heat, okay? Quote from GQ, near our booth, a SportsCenter segment about the New York Giants catches Mayfield's eye. Quote, I cannot believe the Giants took Daniel Jones. Quote, blows my mind. All right, now that's what he said. Now, what ended up happening with sports media is they skipped the line in between on the article and they simply attributed the following quotes to the original quotes and made it sound like this. Right, this is what we heard. This is what was posted all over social media, all over television. So what you just heard was it was actually said, this is what was posted. I cannot believe the Giants took Daniel Jones. Blows my mind. Dot, dot, dot. Some people overthink it. That's where people go wrong. They forget you've got to win. Okay. That is not even close to how it went. Not even close. But again, we don't want to do any digging or research as a media. We just want to jump on the headline and attack that. So much so, and this is how I know for a fact that that's not even how it went. The writer, okay, for GQ, who did the article, Clay Skipper, spoke on the Cleveland Browns Daily podcast and responded.
I think in some ways the thing that has been lost was I then said to him, it mystifies me how hard it is for scouts to scout quarterbacks. And he responded to that by saying, you know, some people overthink it. generally, if you win, you're going to keep, like, either you have one or you haven't won. And if you have one, that's usually a pretty good indicator of what you might do going forward, whether or not you might win going forward and playing in the NFL. I have not seen his Instagram post. But, no, I mean, it was we were certainly talking about football because we were talking about Baker. But it was mostly just an organic reaction to what was happening on the screen. And then I think Baker's comments were mostly a reaction to his own draft process. So it wasn't necessarily a larger conversation about quarterbacks, but it was sort of a larger conversation about the draft and the draft process and his experience going through it.
What do you know, Brady? Can you believe it? I mean, can you believe that people just took a headline and ran with it without doing their research? I am stunned. How about you, Brady Quinn?
Well, first off, like you're defending him one, which, you know, from that soundbite, I don't necessarily know that the writer or the interviewer in this case was saying that he didn't say those things in some sort of way, right? I mean,
he was saying honestly, he said them, but in the order that it was appearing all over social media and on television was not correct.
Right. I mean, they're taking things out of context and paraphrasing, but the problem is to some degree he did say them, right? Like, you look at Daniel Jones' reaction to all this stuff that got put out there, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, doesn't matter. Daniel Jones then handled it with class and dignity and handled it the proper way,
of
right?
Course.
The fact that Baker Mayfield wanted to open himself up to this, and let's remind everyone, wasn't there a GQ article last year done with a player who made a bunch of declarations about who was a good quarterback in the NFL and who was bad? Wasn't there a cornerback somewhere down in, I don't know, maybe Jacksonville?
Oh, Jalen Ramsey, yes.
Wasn't that with GQ too?
Yeah.
Also, I guess we didn't learn that maybe when you're going outside the realm of sports, you should be careful about talking to someone who's interviewing you and then making certain comments that could be construed the wrong way. Oh, I don't know. Look, here's the thing about Baker Mayfield. I love when he says stuff and he backs it up. And in this particular case, like, he said it. Now, it may have gotten taken out of context or paraphrased and he felt like he needed to walk it back, but let's be honest, he said it. He did say those words in a certain fashion, and he opened himself up to the potential criticism. I would have rather him just not said anything. I was like, yeah, I said it. There was more there, too. They took it out of context, but it is what it is. Because I honestly don't care. That's his personality. He's confident in his ability. I think he's very blunt. I think the biggest thing that we struggle with is when you hear someone say something and the way they say it versus then you just read it in text, right? Especially in Twitter.
Yeah.
It's hard to put it into context, right? I mean, it's hard to hear the tone through what the text is saying. And I think that would then lead you to a different conclusion if you heard how Baker had said it versus are reading what's actually there in print. And that's what they're trying to lead you to. But either way, you know, you still got to be careful about it. Like, he's been in the spotlight long enough. And the idea of the whole winning thing and all that, look, he was at Texas Tech his freshman year. Would they go 8-4, I believe? And he left to go to a better team and better opportunity. Like, okay, so Daniel Jones had a losing record when he was at Duke. They haven't had a player drafted since 2015. And didn't Patrick Mahomes have a losing record during his time when he was at Texas Tech? He was like 13-16 as a starter. So, like, that's one, not indicative of what that player is going to be, right? I mean, obviously people didn't overthink Patrick Mahomes, but even then, like, what's the point of him saying that? Why would he want to open himself up to that interview and even do that altogether? Like, if you bring that upon yourself, you have to be able to deal with the criticism that can come with it, regardless of whether you were wronged or not. That's just how it works.
Okay, but here's the problem I have. Yes, he did say those things, absolutely, but I don't think him talking about the winning was him attributing that to Daniel Jones, because the writer even said in that interview that we just heard, yeah, after he made the comment that he was shocked that Daniel Jones was taken at number 6, I asked him about the quarterback evaluation process and we got on to something. Like, I don't think he was attributing that, but what we
hold on, back up for a second. Explain to me then how else you'd attribute that.
Because it was a transition in the conversation. He looked
a transition
up
to what? Okay, he's saying don't overthink it. It wins and losses matter. Where else is that going?
Okay,
with that?
But we're taking out the entire middle section and we're taking his quote.
What middle section
middle
do you feel like was the bridge there that would have changed it?
The middle section.
No, say the middle section.
Where the writer transitioned to something else. The writer even says in the article, and this is the line that everybody skipped, I tell Mayfield that I'm mystified that so many supposed supposedly expert quarterback scouts seem unable to predict what makes a good NFL quarterback. And that's when Mayfield got into his conversation about winning and his thoughts. That it wasn't directly attributed to Daniel Jones. Like there was
how could it not be? Because this writer is talking about what makes a good NFL quarterback. How would anyone know until you're in the NFL? Talking at the draft. You're talking about projecting moving forward. So in the context of this conversation, the winning and losing comment and not overthinking and all that has to be applied to what's there.
See, I disagree. I don't think he was attributing it to Daniel Jones. I don't. I think there was a skip in the action as far as where they were going in the conversation. What ended up happening is that people just, they cut out that middle section that I just read to you, and all they did was do dot, dot, dot.
Dude, I'm listening to you right now, and I've talked about it all day, I promise you. Like, there's just nothing that leads me to think that they began the conversation talking about Daniel Jones, and that they transitioned from it. This writer's telling why he's mystified, and he's responding to it. You're still kind of on that same subject of rookie quarterbacks, evaluating what makes a good NFL quarterback and not overthinking it. Like, I think you're overthinking thing.
No, I think what ended up happening is that people just wanted to play selective quote reader, and they took two quotes, put them together, and said, oh, that's what he meant about Daniel Jones. I don't think that's what happened.
Well,
I really don't.
Let's be honest, too. Like, the business is you can't put a whole paragraph up there, Jonas, so you can't put a paragraph as the title. You have to select certain things to get people to click.
Of course.
Is it clickbait?
Of course.
Of course. But it's no different than if we didn't have the internet altogether and they created a headline for a newspaper. You don't think they would have done the same exact thing back then to get you to read the story?
100%.
So then you have to be accountable for the things you say.
Agreed.
And in that conversation, he probably should have been more guarded with what he said about Daniel Jones, quarterbacks in general, who he was talking to, and how he was saying everything. I mean, if he didn't, he could have said, look, this is off the record, and it would have been all fine. But he didn't say that. He spoke to him very casually, and then the interviewer, or the writer in this case, can do with what he wants with that article or with that conversation.
But he and the writer did. The writer included and mentioned that we started talking about something else, and then everybody just took the two quotes and put them together. That's the only issue I have. And it's exactly why whenever a headline comes out, I always click on it, and I don't click on the site that's reporting on it. I click on the site that actually had the original content so I can see what is actually happening and what is actually said. And I think, although I agree with you, Baker Mayfield, why does he continue to even speak on these certain things? He's going to learn sooner or later. People are just going to turn it into something that maybe he doesn't intend to. But I don't think, and maybe I'm being naive, and I'll be the first one to say if it comes out afterwards that he was honestly being critical, but I don't think this was a direct shot at Daniel Jones. I think that there was a transition in the conversation he said about Daniel Jones.
Let me ask you this. Was he surprised that they took Daniel Jones where they would, from what you read?
Yes.
Okay. So why was he surprised they took Daniel Jones?
Because maybe he anticipated they were going to take somebody else, another position.
Okay, why would they have taken someone else?
Because they had other holes to fill.
Because maybe they were more successful at the quarterback position?
No, I don't know.
This is what I'm attributing to. He's saying that, like, if it would have been a quarterback taken, right? If they would have taken Dwayne Haskins, do you think he would have made the same comment?
I don't know.
Probably not.
But
he was surprised they took him that spot, not because of the position, right?
You don't
and
know
they thought
that
they were
going
to go somewhere
that.
Else.
You don't know what he would have said if they took Dwayne Haskins.
I'm basing this off of what he said. And again, this is what he said. So that's all you can do, and that's why we're on radio. We have to talk about that.
It's National Radio Day, by the way.
It's National Radio Day. Happy National Radio Day.
Yeah, same to you.
You have to base it off of what he said. And if he was surprised they took Daniel Jones in that spot, I'm asking you the question: would he have been surprised if they would have taken Dwayne Haskins?
Would he have
been surprised if Kyler Murray fell and they took Kyler Murray there?
I don't know. And we're never going
to
know.
I think it's safe to say, based on the comment, and you're alluding it because it kind of deconstructs your entire argument.
No.
But it would be safe to say if they took Dwayne Haskins or Kyler Murray there, he probably wouldn't have been shocked.
Okay.
He probably would have said, well, that makes sense. The guy won the Heisman, he followed me at Oklahoma. Or, yeah, he went 13-1, they won a Big Ten championship, he threw for 50 touchdown passes, was a Heisman finalist. Like, that would have made more sense, because then he wouldn't have come back and said, don't overthink it. You know, sometimes, you know, if you're winning at that level, you win at the next level. Like, it would make sense then with the entirety of the conversation.
And there's no eluding it. You're asking me something that's never going to happen and is not realistic. Like, it's never going to happen. Like, it's like asking me, hey, if you were a woman, what would be, well, how the hell would I know? Like, what do you,
well,
like,
you might know.
I mean, how would I answer that?
You might know.
That is a good point. A very fair point.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
By the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but that Antonio Brown helmet story, still going on, Brady Quinn. It's still going on. Yeah, so much so.
Did he find one?
Believe it or not, and I know you wouldn't know about finding a helmet, but believe it or not, Antonio Brown with number three on the way, and Antonio Brown was back at Raiders practice. John Gruden spoke about it earlier.
It's not been a distraction to me at all. I mean, I hate to break it to anybody, but we've known what the status is regarding his feet. He just showed up with frostbite. I've never had a guy show up with frostbite. And fortunately, we got that thing under control. And this grievance thing is no laughing matter. It's something that's really important to them. And there's nothing wrong with supporting your players on things that they believe in. We also understand the league's position, but I'm confident that he's going to be a heck of a player for us and be ready to roll.
So, John Gruden spinning it positive. He's not concerned about it, you know.
Well,
Johnny Jeeb just being positive. Nothing wrong with that.
First off, John Gruden's a sharp guy. And I think he's had to play this about as well as he could have. I think Mike Mayock was at his wit's end the other day, saying he's either all in or all out. He's exhausted all efforts. You could hear in the tone of his voice how frustrated he was. And even though there's probably an element of good cop, bad cop, I also think Mike Mayock's frustration comes because it wasn't his idea to bring in Antonio Brown.
Bingo.
John Gruden decided to trade for him. John Gruden wanted the player. And Mike Mayock was sitting there saying to him, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that because you might get a circus that's going to show up. And as John Gruden talked about all the first he's experienced with Antonio Brown, Mike Mayock probably could have predicted that. And I think that's why you hear John Gruden, you know, talk in a way where he's so supportive of it, because he has to be. He's the one that ultimately made this decision.
And look, let's just be honest here. The Raiders had a John Gruden was hired for a couple of reasons. One, they were hopefully, you know,
history.
Of course. Win games.
He's been there before.
Yeah, win games and try and revitalize the franchise. But also because they needed a buzz back. They wanted to be talked about again. Mark Davis, apparently the poorest, okay, and we use that word lightly, poorest of all NFL owners, correct?
Right. True, but true.
They play in a dump. They play in a place that has a baseball diamond on the field for like the first month and a half of the season. There's not a whole lot there, and they haven't had a lot of success, and there's no buzz. John Gruden was hired to do two things: hopefully win, but definitely generate buzz. Guess what? He's done so, because the reality is this was a 4-win team a year ago that is now the most talked about team in the NFL. Oh, and by the way, you can catch their latest episode on Hard Knocks later tonight. That's been a success. So mission accomplished for John Gruden. I don't think he's that disappointed with what's happening. I don't think his job's in jeopardy. I think this was the plan. They wanted to get back and get some national headlines, and job well done by John Gruden and the guy who looks like an alien through up on his feet.
We haven't gotten to the regular season, by the way.
I know. I mean, that's the best part.
Here's the reality to this is over under. Is there another Antonio Brown issue before week one?
Oh, there's got to be. I mean, come
you
on.
Think?
Yeah, there's got to be. Look.
See, I look at their schedule for a second. I'm going to give you a moment to look up their schedule. I think it's by week four. And I want to say in the first few weeks, I forget who they open with, but they play like Kansas City and Minnesota.
Denver at home.
Kansas City
at home.
At Minnesota.
Yeah. And then they go at Indianapolis. Yeah.
And so, look, did you know Antonio Brown's never had a losing season since he's been in the NFL?
Yeah.
He's never had a losing season. Yep. 500. Never a losing season. They could be a 1-win team. Maybe an 0-4 team. Like, I don't know which one of those teams you could say Oakland is better than. You might say Denver, but I don't know, man. They look pretty good. They look pretty good on Monday Night Football. And so I definitely wouldn't say Kansas City. I wouldn't say road test in Minnesota. No way. And then, look, if the Colts don't have Andrew Luck, maybe not. But still, even they're on the road and they're a much improved team. They could be 0-4.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, I think that's when you could say, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some antics from Antonio Brown. He's going to be frustrated. We could see something else. Yeah, because he's never experienced that sort of defeat, the lack of success.
And let me tell you something, and I'm not saying this just to be a smartass, but if I've got, like, you know, at the athlete's foot or frostbite or whatever they want to call it on the bottom of my feet, and I'm a wide receiver at his size who depends on his feet to be able to cut in and out of breaks.
Well, most
and
wide
make
receivers
plays.
Depend on their
okay,
feet.
But I'm they? Saying, but him, he doesn't. Yeah. It's not like he's going to overpower guys like a Julio Jones. So if I'm a wide receiver who and feet are that important to me, the last stadium I want to play in is one that has a baseball diamond in the middle of it. Honestly, right. And you, so I
well,
just,
you know who else feet are really important to?
Oh yeah, Rex Ryan. I mean, come
there
on.
You go. Yeah. Hey, you know how you get rid of the athlete's foot, by the way?
How do you?
Well, you got to.
That's yeah. Oh, that's the move.
The acidity of it supposedly kills athlete's foot.
So urination kills athlete's foot. I didn't know that.
Supposedly,
interesting.
That's the rumor. You should try it next time. You know,
definitely.
If you're in that situation.
In fact,
really beautiful feet.
And that was Rex commenting on Antonio Brown's Instagram post.
Is it okay to touch him again?
By the way, so urination is the way that you take care of athlete's foot. And the reason that I said that is because that's how you should have said it, so that way we didn't get dumped.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Let's just enjoy the time we have here, Brady Quinn. As we opened up the show earlier, we were talking about the Jimmy Garoppolo blowback. So Jimmy Garoppolo did not play well on Monday Night Football. Several reasons behind it, but biggest reasons in your mind that Jimmy Garoppolo struggled on Monday night were what?
I think just lack of being in that specific scenario. It's been a while. And look, I've come off injuries or like coming back from a concussion. You're always a little bit kind of hesitant, thinking to yourself, how am I going to handle the first hit? You know, you're a little bit concerned about, you know, people rolling up on your legs or falling into you. I mean, it's a real thought and concern. And I know that wasn't how he hurt his knee, but you can't help when you actually get out there in a live game scenario on the road and you're going up against two of the best edge rushers for those thoughts not to be running through the back of your mind. And obviously the start of the game didn't help. I mean, well, it was his second pass attempt, maybe, that ended up getting intercepted. I want to say his first one got tipped. I mean, it wasn't a good start to it. And so it only goes downhill from there. And he never really could have a chance because he only got six attempts to really even regain his composure and to see him come back out of it. So to me, it had a lot to do, I think, just with him just knocking some of that rust off of the injury and just gaining confidence back in his ability to be out there and play and feel back to 100%.
And also the fact that he was dealing with Vic Fangio, who's one of the better defensive coordinators in the league now, the head coach of the
right.
Broncos.
Right, yeah, you really like hyping that up because he came from where? Chicago?
Well, no, he came from San Francisco. Topic. San Francisco Niners.
Right, right.
Yeah, long
right,
time
yeah. Chicago last year.
No, I'm just pointing okay. at Vic Fangio. And I think because
here's the thing.
Because he's Italian.
Vic Fangio is actually game planning for week two of the
well,
preseason.
But it's a mindset. It's a mindset there
right,
in
right,
Denver that
right.
he's presenting to the team. And Vic Fangio being obviously Italian. I know your in-laws are Italian. I figured
that's
it's a
huge,
way
yeah.
it's a way to make
time.
It make
Red
you
wine.
Make the show wrap its arms around you here on Fox Sports Radio just a little bit more. Just a little bit more so we have some context to this story. Can I tell you why I think that Jimmy Garoppolo is getting all this blowback? Because Dak Prescott wants a new contract, and Jimmy Garoppolo is now taking on the role of, whoa, look at what that guy's making, and you don't think Dak deserves more? This is what's happening. So
right.
So Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get the criticism. He originally got criticism because he went on a date with a porn star, and we know why that happened. One,
I don't know why he's getting criticized for that.
Well, some people have, oh, you shouldn't be seen out in public with a porn star. Why not? What's the problem? Honest to God, what's the problem? If she was a porn star or she made balloon animals or was a ventriloquist,
well,
who cares?
People passing judgment, right? Yeah, people passing judgment.
Oh, what's he doing in his private time?
I think we have an idea.
Yeah, I mean, and guess what? There's a multi-billion-dollar industry that nobody wants to speak about that's going on, and she happens to be a part of it. And if Jimmy Garoppolo wants to partake, big deal. He was getting heat originally because he was a Patriot. And when you're a Patriot, you're labeled as fill in the blank with all of that that goes along with it. He goes out with a porn star. He gets paid maybe a little bit too early, but nonetheless, You've told me about this, and we've talked about it on our Sunday night show. He's got a real skill set, right? You knowing the quarterback yeah. position, like he does things that other quarterbacks can't do.
No, he's got as beautiful of a release and as quick of a release as you'll find.
What about his arm?
Mean, Well, that too. And the quick release started with that date with the porn star,
yeah,
and then it got better after that.
I was going to say.
Yeah. but here's the evolution of all this. He gets blamed for it because he capitalized off and kind of fell into a lucky situation, right? Like, let's be honest. If the New England Patriots had kept him, and let's say they moved on from Tom Brady, like, let's just say that scenario played out, okay? He wouldn't have been making as much money.
No chance.
He would have had to follow suit with Tom Brady. That would have been the expectation. Jimmy Garoppolo has the same agent as Tom Brady. Don Yee and I think it's Scott or Steve Dubin. And so if that's the case, like, he actually lucked out by getting traded to then have an opportunity to be the guy in San Francisco that year. And he really didn't know much of the offense when he first got there. But he won, what, his first four or five starts, whatever it was. And then everyone's on the hype train, right? And little did we realize that he really wasn't running Kyle Shanahan's offense at that point. Kyle Shanahan, who's a beautiful, wonderful offensive mind in the NFL, he wasn't running his system yet because he hadn't been there long enough to actually digest it and do all the things they wanted to do. Last year was really the first indication that Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers had of him running the system, operating it the way he wants to. And really, Kyle Shanahan wants you to be a robot. And he wants you to go out there and execute the way he dials things up. Because to be quite honest, he's one of the best in the game. I know he hasn't had a lot of success winning games, but go back and watch the film of him grabbing Nick Mullins off the street, plugging him into a uniform and a helmet, slapping him out there as the starting quarterback, and winning a couple football games and producing.
Yeah.
Not many guys can do that. And so what's happened is after the injury, now we've seen another offseason where he's been able to kind of grow and adapt. And it's going to take some time before they ultimately feel comfortable with him, but he's a byproduct of timing and the fact that he was lucky enough to get traded to a team that, when he was going into his final year, needed a franchise quarterback. He lucked out, played his own game, which is, he's not a risk taker, but, he could kind of create, he could kind of do some creative things too. And I was able to capitalize off that into a big contract. And now he's being blamed for it after missing a good portion of last year because he tore his ACL. Like, you shouldn't blame him for capitalizing on it. Unfortunately for Dak, he's not in a position to until now. And now it comes down to whether or not he wants to accept the offer from the Cowboys or keep trying to push the envelope to see if we can get closer to free agency or making them slap the franchise tag.
There's two sides to every coin, and not only in sports, but in life. In sports, though, when you look at for every DeMarcus Cousins or an Isaiah Thomas who are on the verge of a big payday and an injury derails them and they end up not being able to ever get that big payday, there's guys like Jimmy Garoppolo who just came available at the right time in the right situation, and he took advantage of it. And the 49ers did what, if you talk to most teams around the NFL or executives, they always say, get to it early, pay them early, because it's only going to get more expensive, and that's what they
right.
did. And it's, let's not just pretend like Jimmy Garoppolo didn't suffer a major, major injury a year ago. It was him trying to make a play. And I remember at the time, there were a lot of people that even criticized him. Just run the ball out of bounds, take the ball out of bounds. Man, so God forbid the guy tried to make a play with his feet in a game that, yes, was out of hand, but he still wanted to try and make a play. And his knee collapsed and he suffered multiple tears to multiple ligaments. And so he's trying to get back on track. And it was his first game action. The idea that that's just all of a sudden a representation of Jimmy Garoppolo being an overrated player, you just can't do that. There's enough there that the 49ers, who are run by smart people, saw this as an opportunity to get a guy at what's going to end up being a reasonable rate if he produces the way that they think he's going to at a price. But now everybody's doing the comparison game, and you can't do it because it's two completely different situations between him and Dak.
A couple thoughts. So the San Francisco 49ers contract guy is one of the best. I mean, really, he's one of the best. So, they're not attached to a player for long. And really, after this year, they can get out from the Jimmy Garoppolo contract. So it's a big year for him to prove himself to the organization. But the reason why they paid him in the first place is this. The NFL pays for potential. They pay for potential. They don't pay a guy just because he's been durable and he's been there. That's the problem with Dak. If we're being honest with ourselves, is Jimmy Garoppolo a better quarterback when he's healthy and playing at his best?
Yes.
Yes. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
His ability to get rid of the football as quick as he can and his ability to spin it the way he can is better than Dak Prescott's ability to do so. Now, Dak's a better runner. He's more durable. You know, maybe more of a team guy, whatever you want to say to compliment Dak. But the bottom line is, and this is the same conversation you can have with about Carson Wentz, is Carson Wentz hasn't been as durable. But for the times we've seen him play at his highest level, he's played at a higher level than Dak Prescott.
His high has been higher than Dak's high.
And so you pay him for his potential because you know he can potentially be better. And same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo. And so for the people who are all frustrated about it, unfortunately, that's life in the NFL. That's life in most businesses. Forget sports. I mean, how many times do you see kids who come out of better colleges get paid more? Why? Because they think there's the potential that they're smarter, they're going to be able to do more. That's how that all works. People get paid off potential. And yes, eventually you get rewarded for, you know, tenure and durability and everything else that you do. But for the most part in life, you're paid and rewarded for what you can do superior to everyone else, that potential.
And also, this doesn't mean that Dak doesn't deserve $30-something million. He does. I hope Dak gets it. He's earned that. But when Jimmy Garoppolo was up for a contract or they were having discussions about it, he got a big contract based on, to your point, potential. It's why I make more money than you, because of potential. You're better at this than I am, but because of my potential and because of my sky's the limit reputation, that's why I make so much more than you do, Brady Quinn.
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, usually we don't air this kind of stuff on live radio, yeah. But you, my friend, have chosen to take that path.
Yeah.
I'll gladly, since it's National Radio Day, co-sign with you. There's a lot of potential there. There's a lot of hot
absolutely.
Air.
Absolutely.
A lot of potential.
Yeah. By the way, you can hear that potential on Weekend Overnights with the Drunks here on Fox Sports Radio. That's where you can hear that potential. But nonetheless, look, Dak's going to get paid, but this is how it's done. People start comparing contracts. Jimmy Garoppolo had a bad performance. When do you get worried? All right, last thought on Jimmy Garoppolo. At what point do you start to get worried that this isn't just all right, he's working back into things and maybe he's fallen into some bad habits and it's not working there?
I don't think that's going to be the case. I think what I'm worried about is the team out around him. Like I said, they've got a guy at center in Ben Garland who, I mean, God bless him. He's one of the hardest workers. He's a smart guy. Like I said, he's you know, went to school at Air Force. But he's a converted defensive lineman to offensive lineman. And he's trying to play a position that's incredibly difficult to do. And at least that's the position he was put in for this past game. And so I don't know how the protection's going to be for him. And for a guy who really is mobile enough to hurt you outside the pocket, but needs protection, you know, you can't subject him to that every single week and expect him not to get balls batted. If there's one knock on Jimmy Garoppolo, I would say it's his deep ball. He doesn't have the strongest arm. He spins it well, and he can stretch the field vertically. But when you go back and watch the majority of his games, balls are up and down, and they're caught within 20 yards, the majority of them. He's not heaving a bunch of these balls downfield and stretching the field in that way. So if that's the case, teams are going to start squatting on him. Teams are going to look to try to get their hands up to bat down balls because they know it's come out of his hand quick. And those sorts of issues will play a part. So the Lions got to do their part, getting the hands down, protecting them up, so they can take those shots. But it's really the supporting cast I think I'm more concerned by, and really him staying healthy. Like it's no habits. It's nothing else he does. He's very sound as a quarterback. It's whether or not he can make it through 16 games because he couldn't in spot work when he was a backup in New England, and he hasn't so far in San Francisco. That's the other big concern for him, is really just the health.